Welcome to the Second Mile Church Podcast, where we believe deeper friendships, a bigger God, and fuller lives in Christ are found in the second mile.
We hope you are around next Sunday. It is Labor Day weekend, but hey, we're practicing connecting with each other during our Connect Four series. So pick a restaurant. I figured it up this week. There are 12 places to eat within walking distance right here inside the Point at Barclay. Two of those are like the Tap Tea Bar and then Starbucks. So outside of that are full-fledged menus at all different price ranges. So go get a smoothie with someone. Go eat a sandwich at Witch if you're not wanting to spend much, or you know, you probably can save going to the coffee shop one day this week for this coming Sunday. So just gather with the people. And if as you see people enter the restaurant, invite someone over to sit with you at your table, or at least nearby at a nearby table. So just take over the Point at Barclay. I want to say this as well. As we celebrate our kids, as we look at schools starting back, Coddington Elementary is a school that we have adopted, and I think we may have a slide for that as well. Miss Melanie, will you wave your hand? See, Miss Melanie, if you would like to serve on this team that serves this school. It's close to the theater here, and we just take a moment to bless those teachers and staff there at that school periodically throughout the year. So doesn't require a lot, but maybe that's a team you would like to serve on. Connect Four. 2 weeks ago, we began this series talking about the importance of connecting with other people as the body of Christ. The number one excuse, the number one reason people leave the faith, or leave the church is because they feel disconnected. We must be the church that intentionally connects deeply. And I would even say, as the prayer of Jabez, enlarge our territory. Enlarge our territory. If that's a prayer you've never prayed before, look up the prayer of Jabez in Scripture and just read that and pray it. Enlarge my territory, O God. And sometimes that territory is our social circle. We like us four and no more. As I've mentioned, the word connect means to bring together, to come in contact, so that a real link is established. It's not just coming in contact. Think of a train. If two train cars come in contact with each other, in order to create a longer train, they haven't connected until a real link is established. That's the connection we're talking about. We've talked about the danger zone of isolation. We've talked about the beautiful space of koinonia, this Greek word that means how kind of encompasses how the body of Christ should operate together. And today I want us to look at Mark chapter 2 as we take a look at the different people sitting in this room. How can we connect with people if we don't know exactly who's sitting in this room? How can we connect better if we do? Now, some of these people that we're going to find in Mark chapter 2 are going to point the finger at you, and it's not going to feel good, potentially. Uh-oh. And then some of them in this room is going to point the finger at you or someone you know in this room that you say, man, that's the truth. That's who we need to be. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, talking about Jesus. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. That's an important line right there in this passage of Scripture. There was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, who's they? Well, we're going to find out, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because they were up to the door of this house, when they could not get near Jesus, because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man Jesus speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were questioning him, he said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Man, this is a powerful passage that we're going to break down in just a minute. "He said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And he rose immediately, picked up his bed, and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" There's a four or five different people we find in the local church found in this passage of Scripture. The first group of people is someone in need. Someone in need. The scenario is simply this. Jesus is at home, and man, I can't imagine. We talk about how Jesus was perfect, and he was fully human, fully God, but he never sinned. We see that he gets angry over time, but I wonder what feeling comes over him when he even shows up at home after returning from a trip, and everybody else shows up with him. You ever had those moments where you just need time away? And I'm sure Jesus was like, "Man, I really want to teach these people, but if I could just find my chair, it would be all good. The game's about to come on." I don't know if Jesus watched football or not, but I'm sure he did. Probably a Gamecocks fan, if he did. And the place is crowded, and then we see four men carrying someone in need. If you look around right now, it is 100% the case there is someone in need in this room. 100%. Then you find another group of people, someone who cares. Four men. I was picking this week with my boys. I've got two little boys and two girls, but me and the boys were out and about, and I said, Bubba Ezra, just called him Bubba for whatever reason, Wubba Maddox, and Tubba. So I'm going to name these four men Bubba, Wubba, Tubba, and Chubba. All right? Bubba, Wubba, Tubba, Chubba were four people who care. Imagine yourself, I don't know what they were doing at the time, but I just look at this passage of Scripture and I try to put myself in this moment, like, what's not being said here? Not to just put more words in the book, but to just understand the situation a little bit better. Bubba, Wubba, Tubba, and Chubba, what were they doing? I don't know what you would name the paralytic laying on a mat, but maybe we call him Matt. I don't know what Matt was doing. Did he request Bubba, Wubba, Tubba, Chubba to help him get to where Jesus might be? Or was it they were just kind of around, and all of a sudden it hit one of them. You know what? I heard Jesus was back in town. What if we went and got Matt to see what Jesus might could do for him? Nevertheless, four men grabbed a corner of each of his mat and picked him up because they cared for him. And they wanted to know if this man is who he says he is, if he does what everybody says he's been doing, then Matt is a prime candidate to get some help from Jesus. And it took someone who cares to take care of someone in need. Someone who cares takes care of someone in need. I'm going to give a personal story here. We talked about koinonia last week, and there's a element of koinonia that's about taking what's yours and giving it to someone in need. I haven't shared this much, and maybe I'm sharing a little too much, but I think transparency is key here. Our family went through a tough time early part of this year. There were some unexpected situations with car and air conditioner, and yet without asking, without doing anything, there was people in this church that said, I care about someone in need. And humbly enough, they brought funds to help us get ahead in that dire season of our life. I say that because it was a prime example of Second Mile Church operating in these two people groups that my family has personally experienced. And I just want to say thank you publicly. I've tried to send out a private text, but thank you for being the church that you're called to be. Someone who cares, seeing someone in need. Amen? Another group of people in this passage of Scripture is someone who is preoccupied. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of what this house probably looked like. First century Jewish house, you see, built with a volcanic rock of sorts around the walls. And if you can look really closely, you see the courtyard, but going up from the door a little before the top of the wall there, you see these beams coming out. Those stretch all the way across, making a grid of sorts, 2 or 3 feet across from, away from each other, making a grid that then they lay hay and straw and then pack manure and mud on top of the hay and straw to make this mud top, mud roof of sorts. And so grass begins to grow on this, and people might work up there. People might lounge on top of the house. But the door is typically left open. Now, I'm going to get a raising of hands of people that keep their door unlocked every day of the week. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, I'm not admitting it. I might. Now, there's other people in the room that you've got about 14 cameras, 3 or 4 locks on your door. I need to know who you are. At least admit that. Come on. And you're somehow so curious about who's at your door that you will take the picture of that person standing at your door, maybe Old School Publishers Clearinghouse to give you a big prize. But you're going to post them on Facebook to say, anybody know this person? Oh, man. You don't live in the same neighborhood I do you? Some of you do. But when four guys are carrying this friend of theirs, this person that is paralyzed, they come to a house like this where the door is most of the time open. And if the door's open, it means come on in. That's it. That's the sign. You don't have, there's no knocking. You just walk in. The door's open. What a cool life for some of us. But when the door's closed, it means don't come in. But clearly, in this moment, we see the door open because, and Jesus had to choose this. Remember I was talking about his emotions coming off of a trip? Just close the door, Jesus. But Jesus is an open door kind of savior. At any given point, at any given moment, you're not inconveniencing me. I'm not too tired for you. I'm not trying to be too busy for your situation. Come on in. The door's open. Somebody needs to get that word for your life this morning. Come on in. The door's open. He's not too preoccupied. He's not too busy. But we see in verse number 2 that the room was full even at the door of people who were preoccupied. They were standing there. I'm going to turn my back to you for a reason. Jesus, that's good. Where's my journal, middle schoolers? I need to write that down. That's good, Jesus. That's good preaching. Feel those chill bumps? Man, there's something special going on in this room. Meanwhile, someone in need is seeing someone preoccupied with their back turned to the need. You see the special balance that we have to have as the true body of Christ? These people are, in essence, doing nothing wrong but receiving what Jesus is sharing with them. But they get so tied up in receiving what Jesus is doing in their life, they miss out on what Jesus can do through their life. It's good preaching. And so their backs are turned. They're blocking the door. Bubba Wubba Tubba and Chubba are trying to get Matt in. And they realize there's no way in. Why don't we just go to the roof? And so they climb to this roof. They begin digging a hole. They begin going through the manure and the hardened clay and now the straw and the hay. They're trying to figure out how to get Matt between the beams that are there. They get this hole opened up. I don't know, even know. I mean, that's what, 8 to 10 feet high? What do? Do they reach down as far as they can and let him go and drop him? I mean, he's paralyzed already. Jesus is around. But they, nonetheless, they let this man down into the crowded room where the only person that can take care of his need is there. They knew if we can just get him to Jesus, he can take care of it. And in that moment, Jesus saw their faith and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He saw their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. Some of you, you've been faithful. You've been fighting. You've been trying to figure this thing out and try to remain steadfast in your walk with the Lord. You've been praying for something, believing for something for God to do in your life. You've served him and he hasn't answered you yet. Full of faith, no matter the circumstances, can I just remind you, there's going to be a moment where he's going to see your faith and take care of your need. God sees your faith this morning. I believe that. But here's the thing. God may give you what you need before he gives you what you want. Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is one of the few times that Jesus forgives the person before healing them. Interesting. God sees their faith. He gives the man what he needs before he gives him what he wants. He didn't heal the man first. He forgave the man first. And someone, is it the fourth group of people? Someone who is critical. Because the scribes, the religious people in the room, they begin to question and be critical of what happened in this miracle of being her sins being forgiven. And they question, who is this man? Only God forgives sins. They were going to be okay, I guess, with him healing the man. But when you start forgiving the man of his sins, now they've got an issue. And Jesus says, which one's easier? That I somehow heal his body and he stands up and walks so you can have some type of reward or see a result? But because I am willing to not only say his sins are forgiven, but you don't know the rest of my story, religious folk. You're going to be the ones that are going to crucify me, and my blood's going to be spilled so that all of the sins of all of the world are going to be forgiven one day if they put their trust in me. Which one's easier? Sure, just heal the man. That's easy. But to forgive the sins of the world, that takes more effort, more sacrifice. People are critical. No matter what you do, no matter how good and faithful you can be, people are critical. Johnny, I don't know where you are. Johnny shared something with me, and a couple other people tagged me this week in a pastoring is weird post that went across the internets this week. Some of those things that said, pastoring is weird. I'm too much for some, yet too little for others. I didn't write this. The same preaching that convicts one person angers another. I'm praised for being so loving and graceful, yet slandered for being too loving and graceful. You spend hours counseling someone through tough times only to be unfriended later on social media. Critics are everywhere. You can do the right thing and stay the course. And if they can't find natural fault in you, they'll make something up just to tear you down. These scribes, these religious folk, questioned what Jesus did. And can I say this? Jesus knew this. He knew we must be right with God before we walk right with God. You can adjust your steps. You can put a skip in your journey. You can try to fix up or a blazer for the... You can put it on and try to play the part, try to walk the walk. But Jesus knew you must be right before you walk right. This man, he wanted this man to be right, forgiven, before he was healed to walk differently. You walking right is a byproduct of you being right. You don't walk right to get to God. You don't walk right for your sins to ultimately be forgiven. You can't walk a certain way where God will finally say, man, you've walked this way quite some time now. I think you're good. No, your sins must be washed in the blood of Jesus. Your life must be surrendered to Jesus as Lord. We must be right with God before we walk right with God. So you got someone in need, someone who cares, someone who's preoccupied, someone who is critical, and the last one, as they come in play, someone who can be changed. Aren't you thankful for that? Every one of you in this room falls under that category. As someone who can be changed this morning. As a matter of fact, I want to just get a show of hands of anyone who has a testimony of being in need and you interacted with someone who cares, therefore you saw your life changed. Anybody have a specific memory where you were someone in need, interacted with someone who cares, And ultimately, you're now someone who's been changed. Come on, raise your hand high. Yeah. That's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of understanding the body of Christ. Will you stand with me this morning? If you're new to church, guess what? There will be a temptation and a lie that tells you this is perfect. These people are perfect. Even the pastor that's speaking to you is untouchable and perfect. Far from the case. We are people who are in need of not only a Savior who cared for us, but people that we can surround ourselves with that care for us, ultimately seeing that we're someone who can be changed and transformed. And so today, I want to just, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. Heavenly Father, I've shared the word you've given me of what it means to connect as the body of Christ, to understand what your role in all of this is, and to understand what our role in all of this is. And God, I pray right now that not one person would walk out of this room doing the same thing at the same level that we've always done it. But God, your word would transform how we become the body of Christ. God, I pray that you would make us aware of people in need around us. God, I pray for the people that are in desperate need of you and your people right now, that they would be surrounded by church family today and know that there's hope, there's strength in numbers, they don't have to be isolated anymore, they don't have to walk this out by themselves any longer. God, I pray for hope to rise up in this room, comfort knowing that there's a church family that cares, not preoccupied, not worried about our own spiritual fixes all the time, but God, understanding that you work in us and on us to work through us. So God, I pray that you would set up our church to be just that. God, well, we will walk miles if we have to, upstairs, dig holes, whatever it takes for the people that are in need in this room and beyond. God, that we would carry the mat of people who can't do it themselves, that God, we would pick them up and we would carry them to a place of need, to a place where their need can be met, God. God, give us a passion for that again. God, I pray that every man in this room, God, would have a passion for picking up mats and carrying them, God, to the Savior that can help meet their need, God, and all the while being used by you. I pray for women in this room to understand what it means to pick up those that are in need around them and carry them to up top, up the stairs in strenuous situations, dig holes if we have to, God, to minister and to put them in a place where they can be changed. God, I love you today. No one looking around this morning. You say, Pastor, this morning I've walked in not right with God. I want to walk right with him, but I need to be right. I need full surrender to Jesus this morning. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Come on, let me know who you are. I need to be right. I need Jesus to transform my life first and foremost from the inside out. Is there one? Is there one this morning? Come on, this is your moment. Yes, thank you. Is there another? Yes. Come on, God's doing a work in here. You need to be right before you walk right today. those that raised your hand, I want you to pray this, and the church family is going to join you in prayer. And after you pray, I believe we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, and he's faithful to come in and save our lives this morning, to transform us, to make us new. I believe that is the truth and the promise of God. Can you pray this with me, everybody? God, I need you. I need people around me that care for me. But God, most of all, I need you to make me right. I surrender my life. This day forward is a new day, a new journey, as I walk with you, Jesus. No one else is Lord of my life. I surrender it all in Jesus' name. Forgive me of my sins and set me on a path to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, it's more than just saying it out loud here and even here. I believe there's steps that you take. And so your next step is truly to let someone know. And we have a great way to do that at our Next Steps tent out in the lobby this morning. You'll have people there. You'll see me nearby as well. Let someone know. We've even got a book that says talks about following God that we're going to give you this morning. And simply want to celebrate what God's doing in your life. And someone in need, someone who cares, someone who can be changed. Let's be those three people groups. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can you give God praise for his word this morning?
Thank you for joining us today. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, text YES to 910-537-5773. We have some tools to help you on this new journey. If you'd like to know more about Second Mile Church, text CONNECT to 910-537-5773. Thank you for going the second mile with us. Now it's time for you to go the second mile in your life.